Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, as you probably know, the topic that we're dealing with is persecution. Persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter deals with that in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. In verse 14, he details benefits of persecution. In verse 15, clarifications regarding persecution. And today we're going to take up responses to persecution in verse 16. The benefits of persecution are described in broad language, namely, that you are blessed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. And the indication is that these blessings include the special presence of God, who draws near to his children when they are persecuted, and a strengthened assurance of salvation upon those who are targeted for persecution because they are Christians. That certainly assures them that they are true Christians. But taking up the clarifications in verse 15, Peter makes it clear that suffering for wrongdoing, whether illegal activities or socially destructive activities, is not blessed by God. You're not blessed if you're persecuted for murder, theft, or evil doing, a broad term for lawbreaking, and you're not blessed by being a busybody meddling in other people's affairs. When you suffer persecution or suffer reprisal for those kind of activities, that's what you brought upon yourself. You ought to expect that kind of penalty and have no complaint coming. You should recognize that you brought it on yourself, acknowledge what you did that was wrong, confess it to God, change your ways, repent of your sin, and stop acting like that. Stop conducting yourself in such a manner. It's not fitting for a child of God. But now Peter returns in verse 16 to proper responses to persecution, and that's what we'll take up on this Thursday, May 29, as we gather together around the Word of God, enabled to do so by the financial support of our radio listeners. Peter goes on to say, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Suffering as a Christian, it takes us back to verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Suffering as a Christian is the opposite of verse 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. You might be a Christian and do those things, but if you suffer because you did those things, you're not suffering as a Christian. You're suffering as a thief. You're suffering as a lawbreaker. You're suffering as a busybody. But, Peter says, verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. If you suffer as a lawbreaker or a busybody, you ought to be ashamed. If you are a true Christian, I think you will be ashamed. If you are not ashamed, one would have to wonder if you are truly a child of God, if you really have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within you. But if anyone suffers as a Christian. Now, what's significant about that statement is that this is only the third time in the whole New Testament that the word Christian is used. We use it frequently. The Bible uses it infrequently. It's become just part of our category. We talk about Christian this and Christian that and people who are Christians, but the Bible only three times ever uses that word, And this is the third of the three. The first one is in Acts 11:26. And when he found him, that is, Barnabas found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. That's a wonderful text. I would be tempted to stop and expound upon it, but I will not. I will just simply call it to your attention and move on to the second one, which is in Acts 26:28. And here we have Paul speaking to King Agrippa. And Agrippa said to Paul, verse 28, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Almost, but not quite. He didn't become a Christian, but he was powerfully persuaded by the words of the Apostle Paul. And he said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." So what is a Christian? Well, a Christian is one who is Christ-like. A Christian is one who is identified with Christ. What is a Christian? Well, let me ask you, what is, for example, a Herodian? We find people in the New Testament who are called Herodians. What does that mean? Well, they are of a political party that is identified with the Herods. The Herods were reigning. People who supported them were called Herodians. And likewise, those who identified with Jesus Christ and were loyal to him and supported him were called Christians. Now, in every case where the word Christian is found in the New Testament, it is a term that others apply to God's people, not they themselves. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians, but the citizens of Antioch called them Christians, because they talked so much about Jesus Christ and because their lives were characterized as followers of Christ. They lived like Christ. They believed in what Christ taught, and they lived their lives accordingly, and that set them apart as different from the rest of the population. And so the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Likewise, by Agrippa in Acts 26:28, he's the one who said, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." That wasn't a Christian using the term and applying it to himself, but that was someone else who had picked it up. Apparently, it was in wide enough use that Agrippa knew it and utilized it, but it's not a Christian, not a follower of Jesus Christ who uses the term. And similarly here, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian," in other words, other people are persecuting you because you are a Christian. Other people are identifying you as a Christian. Other people are calling you a Christian. It's not what Christians called themselves. You don't find anyone in the New Testament who says, "I am a Christian." We say that, and I'm not saying it's erroneous for us to do so. I'm just pointing out that in the New Testament, nobody did. We use it that way, but in the New Testament, the three times it is used, it is other people who called the followers of Jesus Christ Christians. What did Christians call themselves? Well, read through the New Testament to find an answer to that question, but you will find that sometimes they called themselves disciples, sometimes they were called saints, sometimes they were called brothers, sometimes they were called believers, sometimes they were called people of the way. These are terms that they applied to themselves as followers of Jesus Christ, but others called them Christians. But there's no question what is meant by the term Christian. It means a follower of Jesus Christ. It means a person who is so distinctly a follower of Jesus Christ that he is like Christ. Not perfectly, of course, nobody is, but significantly like Christ. Enough like Christ that we can apply Christ's name to him. He is a Christian. He is Christ-like. He is obviously a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. We can call him a Christian, a Christ one. That's who that person is. And if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. It's a badge of honor to suffer as a Christian. It's a badge of honor to be persecuted for the name of Christ, because that means that somebody thinks you are enough like Christ that they see Christ in you and they persecute you the way they persecuted Christ. There's enough similarity there that you are attracting the same kind of animosity, hatred, opposition, and persecution that came to Jesus Christ himself. Now, when you suffer as a Christian, in other words, when you are being persecuted for the name of Christ, there's something not to do and there's something to do. And what you are not to do is to be ashamed. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. As you should be, if you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, busybody, you ought to be ashamed. But as you suffer as a Christian, you should not be ashamed. You should not feel dishonored. There is no shame. There is no reason to cower. Hold your head high and consider that a badge of honor. Thank the Lord that His grace has made you enough like Christ that you have attracted the same kind of persecution that Christ attracted. So don't be ashamed, and then what do you do? Glorify God in this matter. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. The matter of persecution, the matter of suffering. Let him glorify God in this matter. Or, back to verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, so let him glorify God in this name. The name Christian, the name Christ that you are identified with. Praise God that you know Christ. Praise God that you bear the name of Christ. Praise God for the privilege of suffering for Christ. Like the apostles in the book of Acts who counted it all honor that they were worthy to suffer shame for His name. They glorified God and praised Him for the privilege. A badge of honor. It's clear when you read the writings of the Apostle Paul that he considered his imprisonments for the cause of Christ a badge of honor. And he even applied that badge sometimes to some of his co-workers who also were imprisoned at one time or another for the cause of Christ. That was a badge of honor. He called them his fellow prisoners. He wanted other people to know that they had been in prison. Now, most of the time when somebody today has been in jail or in prison, they're not real anxious that other people know about it because it is not a badge of honor. It is a badge of shame because in America, at least, if you are in prison, it is because you are a thief. It is because you are a lawbreaker. And you don't want other people to know it. And if you have relatives in prison, you're not real glad to announce that fact. But, dear friend, if you are persecuted as a Christian, if you go to jail as a Christian, which happens in some countries and may happen here, if you are persecuted for the name of Christ, you should hold your head high and glorify God that He has saved you and He has marked you and He has changed you and He has caused you to be enough Christ-like that others hate you for Christ's sake and are persecuting you because you are a Christian. That is a badge of honor. Hold your head high and glorify God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.